Leslie Imbruglia with Tour. Now I'm joined in the studio by singer-songwriter Rhys Lewis. Rhys has been receiving some amazing reviews with the Evening Standard quoting, "Rising star Rhys Lewis writes songs from the heart and really soulful vibes. The songwriting is no frills attached and straight to the point, proving devilishly addictive." That's a quote from Crack in the Road. We've been playing the track "I Know the Feeling" on Phoenix FM. Rhys's first single, "Waking Up With You," was at number one on Spotify's viral chart and has racked up 170,000 streams in 2 weeks. Rhys has performed to sold-out crowds at London's Borderline earlier this year, and "Living in the City" now has over 1.3 million streams on Spotify. Whoa.
Mad numbers.
That is lovely. That'd be a lovely number to have.
This is nice speaking over this kind of funky music.
You do like this? This is a band called Down to the Bone.
I like this.
Yeah.
It's unusual to speak above. Yeah. I mean, you're used to it, but I like it.
I'll move it. I'll turn it down now because obviously you're talking.
Okay.
Don't want to interrupt your lovely voice.
No, I like it.
First of all, let's talk about when you first started with music. How old were you when you picked up the guitar?
I was about 10 or 11. My dad actually he's like a bedroom guitarist. He's not like kind of in bands and stuff. Oh, he was in a band at uni, but apparently it wasn't very good. But yeah, he had a guitar in the corner of the living room and never really played it. And then I used to play clarinet and things like that at school because it was like free lessons and things. Mm. And then I was really wanting to learn music or do something, but I didn't really find an instrument until the guitar that really I got addicted to. So then, yeah, I started playing guitar at school with the lessons there. And then when I went to secondary school, I guess that's when I got really into it and started kind of learning all the classics and getting into Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton. And then there were loads of bands like the Arctic Monkeys coming out at that time. So. Yeah. Just started jamming with my friends, and that was kind of how I got into music, and then started to kind of fall in love with the kind of songwriting and arranging that you kind of do without knowing it when you're that age.
But you've got a great voice, so I mean, a lot of people don't. They play guitar and then they go to sing along, and then where did the voice? Did you always sing as a kid, or did that happen after you learnt the guitar?
Yeah, it definitely came second. Yeah, I didn't really consider myself a singer properly until I was about 19, until I came to London. But before then, I was doing gigs and things, but it was like I felt more like I was just a guitarist that happened to sing, because I was in bands with my brother. He was the singer, and I was never really like, I was doing backing vocals and things like that, and so I wasn't really like center stage in that respect, and still find it a bit weird because I actually went to uni to be more of a songwriter than an artist. So yeah. It's kind of strange to kind of be the artist and, you know, singer now. But yeah, it took me a while to kind of have the confidence to sing in that respect. But yeah, now I feel a bit more confident. So, yeah.
Your guitar playing's quite rhythmical, so I thought you were going to say you play drums.
Ah, well,
or percussion.
I think the reason it is rhythmical, because someone else asked me this, and they're like, you play a lot with a lot of groove in that respect. And I think it's because I used to play in a band like acoustically with my brother. He was a piano player and singer, and because there was no rhythmic element in the setup we had at the time, it meant that I was trying to fill out the rhythm with the guitar, because the piano obviously can do that, but just not as effectively. So there's a bit of a percussive element to the guitar when you play it in a certain way. So that's probably why my initial sort of style evolved in that respect. But yeah, and also the songs we were playing were quite soulful and things like that, so you kind of draw from the record as well.
You've been doing some gigs. We were talking about festivals actually off air, and you've done the Great Escape Bushstock Festival, and you did one at St Pancras, sorry, Old Church, with the House Gospel Choir.
Yeah, that
what,
was
What
really
was
fun.
That like?
It was amazing. They actually performed on the record, so we were looking for, there was a few songs that I thought a gospel choir would sound really great on, so we did a bit of digging and then found this amazing choir called the House Gospel Choir. And they've sung with some amazing people, so we were really lucky to actually get them into the studio to put a few songs down. And we did it straight to tape as well, so it was kind of old school, and it has that certain style to it, and it was all done live. Because they became such a big part of the record, I thought it'd be great to put a show on with them, and no better place to sing with a gospel choir than in a church. So we found this great place in London called the Old St. Pancras Church, and just did like a one-off sort of special just to showcase their talent. And what they've brought to my music. And it was a really special thing. It was just me and the choir and then a piano player. So it was quite stripped back. And yeah, it was a privilege. They're just great musicians, great people. And I'm very lucky to have them as part of the record now.
I love that. It's like, I'm going to get a choir in. I'm just thinking about like three people. How many are in the choir? Is
it 20? So, yeah, it does. Sorry, to be fair, it does sound like I've employed like 80 people. No, it's actually, they are a part of an 80 plus strong choir. But I obviously budget. I couldn't afford 80 people to come and sing on my record. Maybe like album three. See how it goes. But yeah, it was, there was only six of them for the.
But six vocalists. That's amazing.
Yeah, still very lucky. Yeah, and we'd sort of double tracked some of the parts, so it's got a bigger sound. But even even at the gig there were four, because I think we could only fit four in the small stage. Yeah. But yeah, it sounded great, and they seem to just, they've got an amazing energy as a unit themselves, and they just bring such a good vibe. And it kind of, it's probably the first gig I've gone on stage not feeling nervous, because I don't know why, but just having other people singing along with you, suddenly you start to feel less on your own. That, going back to kind of me still feeling a bit unconfident about singing, I know I can kind of sing now, but it's just a weird thing in my mind to get over. But when you have other people backing you up, especially like that,
yeah,
it kind of settles your nerves a little bit. So yeah, it was a really fun show,
and it's good to have those blend of voices. When you listen to other artists, the reason their voices stand out even better when they've, because they've got different voices underneath. It's like a blend, isn't it?
Yeah, that was actually for a few of the songs, it felt inappropriate for me to do the backing vocals. And there's one song called Living in the City where it's kind of about, being in a place and, or being in a city and kind of being a part of something but feeling quite alone at the same time. And so it felt, if I was going to sing the backing vocals, you kind of wanted it to be more of an actual crowd of people, or to sound like different people singing than me. So it really worked in that respect as well.
Now, you're going to do the first track, so tell us about this track.
Yeah, it's called Things You Can't Change. Mm. And I don't know if you follow, there's a thing called Humans of New York on Instagram and Facebook and whatnot. It's basically this guy who started off in New York going around taking photos of random people in the street, and then as he was taking, he just asked them, can I take a photo of you, and they say yeah, and he'd try and kind of ask them something about their lives or whatever, and he posted it all on Instagram with a little kind of blurb of what they said. This one guy was like kind of in his work attire at a restaurant, and he was photographed outside having a cigarette, and then the blurb was kind of about how he'd just gone through a divorce, and it was really sad, and he said about how he tried to change as many things about himself as possible that his partner at the time kind of didn't like about him. And he said once you kind of get past the things you can change, you're left with the things you can't.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a really sad thing, so I decided to kind of take that things you can't change as a more of a positive thing, because at the time when I was with my girlfriend, I was thinking about all the things that I love about her that I wouldn't want her to change, that she can't change. And so I guess I tried to put a positive spin on that concept, I suppose. Yeah.
Well, you've tied it back, you've worn it down, you've dyed it black, but your roots are brown. And you've asked me now 1,000 times what I prefer, 'cause you can't decide. The truth is, whatever you do, I know there'll be no change in my mind. 'Cause I warn you, for the worse and for the better, it's all you do. You don't realize, ooh, I love you for you, babe, ooh. All the things you can't change, you won't sit still, and you're always late, and you talk through films, but I like the way you say what's on your mind, even when you try to stop yourself. Can't you tell that I warn you for the worse and for the better? It's all you do, but you don't realize. No, no, oh, mm-mm. change. Ooh, I love you for you, babe. For all the things you can't change.
Yeah, I think I'll have to take you on my holiday to Greece and just have you play. That sounds a bit creepy, really, but in mind.
Could you ask me first?
No, I won't ask you.
I'd love to go to Greece, though. Let's do it. Where are you going?
I could just, that's it, on the beach. It's beautiful. That's lovely. Yeah. That's amazing. What a great voice. I love the really quick chords you do as well.
Oh,
you know,
cool.
So I'm not really, I see, I can't write music. I just appreciate the chord changes. And you do some lovely chord changes. And on the single that we're going to play later as well, that's what I first went, oh, I like that.
Because you were chatting on Twitter, you're like, it's a bit unexpected.
Because it goes somewhere, I love songs that go somewhere where you don't think, or it just, the timing slightly changes.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? It makes it interesting. Mm. And I really could, with that song, I don't know how long it was, but you could have gone around a bit more with that one.
Really?
Yeah.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I can like edit the live version. Do the next double chorus.
Just double chorus. Keep going. So last year, is it, or this year, have you been between London, Nashville, Stockholm, LA and Berlin? Is this this year?
That was predominantly last year.
Yeah.
But I have been to Berlin this year for a show and a few other places as well. So yeah, been about this year as well.
Yeah.
But more kind of live kind of dates. But this was all a lot of writing and recording, which is amazing. And to go to some of the places again, but kind of playing music and playing live shows is actually so exciting, and I'm very lucky to be able to do it. Yeah.
When you put songs together, are you somebody that sits and write lyrics when you're out, or do you get guitar chords and then the words come, or does it work differently every time for every different songs?
I guess it has worked differently for different songs, but generally the way I sort of tend to like get into something, it's often kind of like that song I just played. It's a line or a little phrase that seems to, I put in a note in my phone as like lyrical ideas or whatever.
Yeah.
And something, or even if someone, I'm having a conversation with someone, that's often when a title comes to me or an idea, someone will say something, I go, that's a really good idea, or I can imagine that in my life. And or even something you say and you don't realize it because you're just chatting to someone, and then you go, oh, okay, I should probably write something about that. And then I put it in my phone, and then when I next get to sit at my guitar or whatever, I then sort of like kind of go through the list of notes and go, oh, okay, I want to try and write that. Or if there's a bit of music I'm playing, I go, oh, that might suit this lyric, and I try and start with the chorus generally, and get the kind of the meaning or the bare bones of the song there, and then flesh out all the details of how it's kind of affected my life. So yeah, it generally works like that. But then sometimes you just start playing and play a few chords, and suddenly you've got like a melody in your head, and then the melody seems to like gift a lyric. And but I think I'm very lyric driven. I think like a lot of the songs I write, I tend to slave over the lyrics and the story, and kind of want to get something across lyrically as opposed to musically. So I guess that's probably why I start from lyrics generally.
Do you feel when people listen to your lyrics, you give quite a lot of yourself away?
Definitely. Well, it's weird because I've done a lot of writing where I've maybe just written a random song that doesn't mean anything to me, or not that doesn't mean anything to me, but I've kind of put myself in the shoes of a situation, and maybe that hasn't even, not, I don't know, not purposefully, but just hasn't ever kind of, those are the songs that haven't ended up on the record, or those are the songs that don't seem to have the same impact. It's the songs that you can write from your personal experience, you know, from, and write from the heart. And that sounds obviously a really cheesy cliche thing to say, but honestly it's true. It's like when you can write from your own feelings and your own emotions, obviously that's going to produce a better song, or at least a more kind of sincere one. So yeah, it's often that way, I suppose.
How many songs do you write, would you say, you write in a year? Are you somebody who just keeps writing and writing?
Well, I think I wrote about 100.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going
to
say
but
that.
But it's a weird number, because I got to, I don't count them, but you get to a point where you're like, yeah, because I suppose you were doing, I was writing two or three a week, if not more sometimes. There was one day I wrote 3 songs in a day. It was mad. It was on a little writing camp with a load of different songwriters, and I got put with a guy who we ended up becoming really good mates with, and wrote 2 songs that are now on the record, but in the same day. So it's sometimes when you get on a roll, you can write a load, but then there's others where you slave over it for a week and a half, or months even. So, yeah, it's nice when you write a song in a day, but often I find that you need a bit more time. Even when you go into the studio, don't consider that song finished until it's actually recorded, because I've taken a song into the studio thinking it's done, and then someone says something, and then suddenly you're writing a second verse again because it's not quite what you wanted it to be. And so I feel like I've definitely learned to think of my music as like never truly finished until it's recorded, because there's so many, when you come back to it with fresh ears or when someone else hears it, because often when you're writing you don't really share those songs until you get to the point of recording them. So just having other people hear it and go, oh, I thought you meant that, and you go, no, I didn't actually mean that, and they go, oh, maybe you should try and rewrite it or go to the chorus a bit earlier. And so I think it's been nice not feeling to have that kind of time in the studio, not feeling like anything's completely set. And it's really benefited the songs in the long run, I think.
What's the best lyric or chorus could be that you've ever written that you've sort of gone, that is fantastic?
Well, it was, I did think, because it's hard to think of your own lyrics, because you don't know. Suppose, like, often the lyrics that mean a lot to me are other people's, because you kind of go, I wish I'd written that. So obviously having written lyrics, it doesn't, sometimes they don't feel like they're good or whatever. They just feel like they're truthful. But the one, I'd say the chorus I wrote from a song, No Right to Love You, is, sounds weird to say it. It's like, have no right to love you when I chose to walk away. Have no right to love you when I didn't want to stay. Have no right to need you when I knew what my heart was going to lose. Have no right to love you, but I do. And it's kind of, the whole song's basically about, I broke up with my girlfriend, ex-girlfriend a while ago. And it was just that the day after, you kind of had that horrible, like, have I done the right thing? I don't know what I'm doing. And, like, you wake up and you miss them and you think, should I call them? And it's that thing of, like, I have no right to kind of feel the way I do because I'm the one who's kind of ended it. But there's, you can't just turn off your feelings like that. And even though you love a person, sometimes it doesn't really work and you just have, you know, you have to end something. So that was, I guess for me, that when you hear the song, I suppose, is more of a context to it. But that, I summed up my emotions to me so well, perfectly, of how I felt. So I think for me that's why it's probably my favourite lyric.
Quoted when I was looking, stalking in fact, through your Twitter account.
It's not stalking.
Your manager's going, it was actually a bit of additional information I was looking for. And I was going through and I found the Glen Campbell, which is, I need you more than want you and I want you for all time. What is that, one of your favourite lyrics?
I mean, that is a massive, like, isn't that genius? It's like, there's so many, I mean, you hear them all the, well, not all the time, but you, those classic songs, there seems to be so many lyrical gems. You go, I wish I'd written that. And you asked me, I don't know if that was another one of your questions, you were saying, what's the song you wish you'd written? She's Always a Woman, if you know that song.
Yes, Billy Joel.
That is, like, lyrically, I suppose there's so many songs I wish I'd written, but when I heard that one lyrically, it's just so poetic, but it's also such a beautiful song. And it's, I don't know, like, one of those, when I heard that song, I realised the art of songwriting. Because sometimes, I don't know, you listen to a song, you don't realise how well it's written until you think about it. But that one, you hear it and you go, it's just an amazing song, so well crafted. Same as there's a Vincent by Don McLean. I think that's a brilliant song as well. But anyway, yeah, there's loads, we could go on.
Sometimes I think with vocalists, just sometimes you will know that people over sing. You don't do that. You've got, like, your highs and you've got, like, the mellow bits. So the bits where you do really sing, it stands out more, rather than some singers, you know, you get that kind of all over the place, and you can't you know what I mean.
I don't mean Well, the live versions often tend to be when people are like, it's not a record, it's live, so you can just go for it. But yeah, I do know what you mean. And it's kind of, I've tried to kind of use that part of my voice when it's most effective, I suppose, because as you say, if you overuse something, it kind of gets, you get used to it. So also, I couldn't sing like that for the whole song, it'd be knackering on my voice. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Now, you've got your album coming out early next year, so who have you been mostly been working with? Have you got a couple of different producers on all the tracks, or
It's actually just one set of producers, these guys called Bo Weaver, who are two brothers who live on the Isle of Wight, and they had a career as in a band called Jackson Analog. I don't know if anyone knows of them. They would say no one knows ever heard of them. But yeah, they're just brilliant people, amazing musicians, great ears and great producers. And I actually went and just did a 2-day session with them, and my label said, look, see what happens. They could work because they've got a really interesting sound as producers, so just see what comes of it. And if it works well, you could maybe do a few more songs with them. So it was quite no pressure, and it was really fun. And then the two songs that we recorded in those 2 days just sounded great, and it was kind of exactly what I wanted it to sound like. And that was the first time I kind of clicked with producers in that respect. And so, yeah, we ended up going, well, we'll just go and do another week, and then go and do another week. And then before we knew it, we're like, I think we're recording the album. Because it wasn't like that kind of, let's go and record the album for these next 2 weeks. It was kind of accidentally, it became the sort of album process. So, yeah, it was a really nice way of doing it, because we had sort of time between each session to kind of listen to stuff again and have some fresh ears, as opposed to kind of going in for 3 weeks, getting it all done. We had a week here, a week there, and as obviously in the time you weren't there, you could kind of reflect on what you just put down. So it kind of gave you, or gave me the space to sort of know whether something was right or wrong, or if it needed something more or less in some respects. So yeah, it was a great process.
Did you say were they using analog, or are they sort of?
Yeah.
So it was on tape.
It's a mixture. There's a bit on, there's some stuff on tape, and then there's some stuff that's I suppose the nature of the music industry these days, and also the nature of the artist these days, is they know they have a lot more options available to them. Digitally. So, for example, there were things that I couldn't necessarily commit to saying I wanted it to sound like that right then and there. And obviously, if you commit something to tape, it's done and that's the sound of it. So there were a few things where, well, there was a lot of things where we sort of said, let's record it, you know, this way, because we know we don't want it to, we might change our minds. And that has actually slowed music down, I think, a lot, because you don't commit to something then and there and then that's it. You kind of put something down, you go, well, we can change the sound of it now.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did a few things to tape as well, which is quite exciting. And I've learned so much as a musician from going through that process. So very lucky to have done it.
Now, what's the album going to be called? Are you allowed to say yet, or have you not really titled?
I'm not sure.
Not allowed.
No. I'm not sure.
Oh, you've got to look for the manager. Don't you say anything.
I've got some ideas.
Yeah.
I've got one title that's like the working title, but I'm gonna wait to announce that one, I suppose.
And is it going to be sort of January, February, March time next year?
Yeah, early next year, hopefully. I think it will just be by the end of this year. We kind of got loads of stuff in the diary, so I think it's kind of just seeing how the next few months go, and then I think a time will be seen as like, yeah, that's the best month or best time to put it
now,
out.
Now, you've got your tour, which is starting in September.
The European tour is in September, and then November's the UK tour.
Yeah, and you're going to be in London on the 22nd of November.
That's it, Oslo, Hackney Central.
And is that you with the full band?
I'm really excited. It's the first ever tour I've done as my own name, and so to be out with the band as well, that's very exciting. So we're going all around, I think Glasgow, Manchester, Bristol. I don't even know my name. But yeah, Birmingham and London, so it's going to be really fun.
How long are you on stage for? Because you've got
about
five in a row. That's still a lot, isn't it?
You've
got the travelling.
Although, yeah, I'm used to it, because I used to play in like covers and function bands, so you're playing like three, four times.
Isn't that like that's when you think about doing these gigs, that must be joy.
That's easy. and you sing your own songs, so they're all in your range, so it's fine, actually.
It's nothing worse than somebody says, do you know this song? And you think, you do know it, but you're like, no, I don't want to play that.
Can you play Mustang Sally? And you go, oh, no.
It's my particular favourite, yeah.
Is it?
Michelle,
you're a DJ. I'm pleased I had those years kind of growing as a musician in that live circuit to then kind of give me the skills to be able to do it with my own music. So yeah, really pleased.
And have you got the gospel singers coming with you on that?
Sadly, not on the tour, but maybe in the London show. I haven't thought about that, but I think maybe probably the next tour after that.
Who would you like to collaborate with at the moment? Who's kind of somebody that you think I'd like to work with?
Ooh, that's such a big question. I'm going to say Tom Walker. I think he's an exciting artist at the moment. So I think Tom Walker, I'd love to do a song with him or write something with him. Leanne La Havas, she's writing a second album, I'd love to do something with her. She's really cool. There's loads, it's hard to pick one, that's why I was struggling. But yeah, it's too many. I'd love to, who knows who I'll be working with in a few months' time, see what happens.
Thank you ever so much for coming in.
Not at all, thanks for having
me. It's been brilliant to have a chat with you. We're going to end with this song, which is I Know The Feeling.
I wrote this song for a friend of mine who is kind of going for a bit of a low patch in his life. And I'm so pleased it's out there. So yeah, hope you enjoy it.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for coming in. Cheers. Thank you.
I know the feeling. I know the feeling. Alright. Well, you're tired of waking up alone, so you keep the curtains closed. You don't wanna face the world outside. You wonder where all your money went, 'cause you gotta pay your rent. I guess you'll be working every night. Well, it's hard to keep up when life gets too much, 'cause there's no